Well, last week we talked about worship in our basic service or our series. And it seemed like last week, you know, we really got into it, and some of you continued on this week as well. So I really just want to encourage you to continue to go after worship and go after the Lord. And, you know, just like communion, I mean, that sets the tone, you know, and that's kind of the attitude and the heart and the spirit that we need to have when we go into our worship times too. So so just encourage you to keep it up, worship in spirit and in truth. This week's message is a little more advanced. I will say, though, that the main idea is basic, but I'm excited to give you some good pointers on how you can feed yourself. Feed yourself is the title this morning. Pastor Anna read, and I browsed through this really good book called The Divine Mentor, and so some of the ideas that you'll hear today and next week come from that. So if you'd like more information, you can check that out, the library or Amazon Kindle or whatever. Well, you're all adults or teenagers here, right? Or young adults or, you know, right? We're all, now that the kids are gone, like we're all kind of adults, right? So you got yourself dressed this morning, right? That's an adult thing to do, right? Like you had to do that yourself. You combed or brushed your own hair, right? You brush your teeth, right? Your own teeth. Your spouse didn't have to do it for you. Yeah, no. Good. That's really good because contrastly, you know, a newborn obviously has to have those things done for them. No, not the teeth brushing part, you know, if they're newborn. But like feeding them, of course, you have to feed a newborn baby, right? Okay. This is basic. I'm telling you, these are basic statements. But so this newborn, at first, all they can take is milk, but as they grow, they start to take baby food and even little crackers or things that dissolve with just their saliva. And that's all they can take until their digestive system develops, right? This is not new information. But something you may not know is that spiritually speaking, in the church world, there are people that want the pastors to feed them. So, Pastor Anna, I'm going to ask for your help here. I got little props here. So, I'm going to get this ready. Come down here. Should I open this here? What do we got here? Just give us a second. Okay. So, I'm going to take this. Okay. So, like, Lindsay, come on. Stand up here. Turn around here. Hold this as your bib. Okay, this is like what people want pastors to do. Yeah. And like, okay, so like, feed me, pastor, feed me. Okay, well, here's a, try not to give you too much. I don't want to jam your in there. Okay, here you go. Here's a Bible verse for you. Okay, you good? You're saturating. You're thinking of that. Okay, here's a little bit more. You know, because you can't live on one. Okay. There you go. Good. Good job. All right. Give Lindsay a hand. Thank you, sir. But there's some people that, like Ryan, come here. Some people just don't want to be fed, okay? This is a clean spoon and a different dish, so that's the same one. Okay. Don't want Lindsay's germs. Just kidding. Okay, so there's some people that, like, now, Ryan, you need this. Ryan, come on. Here's the airplane. Open the hangar for the airplane. He's going to. I bet tickle. No. Okay. Well, there are some people that are like that, too. You can only lead a horse to water, right? Okay. Thanks, Ryan. Okay. And then. Okay. Okay. So let's run over here. Okay. Thank you. All right, there you go. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, if you're really that, can I take this one? Is this the right one? Okay, so here you go. Okay. Yeah, you good? Okay, great. Okay, so you're taking Bible verses and good. Oh, that's so good. You know, so people just pop up all over the place wanting us to feed them. And so we can't, you know, like run around, you know, through the service and be in, or through our week, you know, and oh, you want, okay, well, here, you take that because I need to go over here because I think there's some people over here. Dale, way back. Ah, oh, missed. Okay, but, okay, you know what? Okay, here's what we can do. We're a team, right? So, like, you can go over there, and I can go over here, and, like, we can, like, divide and conquer. But you know what? I'm out of breath already. So they're all adults, right? They should be able to feed themselves. You don't want that one? You don't like this? So you're just going to leave, huh? Well, okay. That's what happens, though, all the time. Thank you, helpers and friends. Give everybody a hand. I don't like this. But that's really what happens. People all over America are, like, leaving churches saying, well, I'm not going to go to that church because I'm not getting fed. You're not getting fed. Well, I don't think that's the church's problem. I don't think that's the pastor's problem. Sounds like a personal problem. You know, you should be able to feed yourself. Because it's really kind of ridiculous, you know, like for us to kind of run around all over this place, that's the big visual aid. We can't run around trying to meet the needs of everybody, and you can't rely on us to feed you because, well, don't get me wrong. I know that Sunday morning is a big responsibility. The sermons, we honestly prepare with diligently. We put a lot of time, energy, and effort into it so we can bring the Word of God to you. But if all you did is relied on that from week to week and only ate once a week spiritually, that's not enough to get you through. You need to eat daily, right? Sometimes more than once a day, right? We sure don't miss a lot of meals. And besides, you know, even if we gave you the most, like, in-depth, passionate sermons, that just is not enough nutrition for once a week. Do you know about sequoia trees? They're really cool. They're also known as redwood trees. They're huge like that. Yeah. Pastor Anna and I were actually took a vacation, just the two of us, to Europe, well, Portugal. And there's one spot in Portugal where, I forget the whole story, but these trees were gifted to the king of Portugal, and so he has some sequoia trees in Portugal. So is where we found those. And they are stinking huge. Like, there's a guy in the middle. I don't know if you can see that. And that's like a Christmas tree. I mean, I don't know how big that Christmas tree is or whatever, the evergreen. The sequoias are massive. They can grow to over 240 feet tall. 24 stories about. They obviously didn't get that big overnight. And in fact, they live hundreds of years to get that big. Now, after only 3 years, a seedling that starts to sprout 3 years later can be over 11 feet tall. So that's some pretty good growth right there. You know, I'd like to be a sequoia tree right there too, have that kind of growth rapidly. And of course, they reach impressive heights when they're mature. And I say that word intentionally. When they're mature, they soar to amazing heights. But despite their impressive sizes and long lives, great care needs to go into protecting their root system. The trees we saw in Portugal had fences around it, and here's why. Because one of the trees in Yosemite National Park fell over dead some years ago, and it prompted an investigation. Park rangers and forestry experts concluded that foot traffic around the base of the tree over the years had damaged the root system and contributed to the collapse. Just people walking up around it. As big and impressive as a redwood tree is, the root system, or how it takes in nutrients and nourishment, is most important. This principle applies to every Christian here as well. We need to guard our system for taking in spiritual nourishment. Even mature Christians will fall if we don't protect our daily time with the Lord. And we see that over and over again with televangelists and or big name preachers that fall because they think they're so big, they're invincible. But after a fall, they admit that the first thing that went to drive them towards making bad decisions was that their daily time with the Lord was non-existent. It's important for us to guard our roots and not get too distracted with life to keep us from spending time with Jesus. Luke 10, 38 through 44 or 42 tells us the classic story of Mary and Martha. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard this before, Mary and Martha. Jesus went to Martha's house. Her sister Mary was there also. And it turned out that as Jesus was teaching, Mary found herself sitting right there listening to him, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Martha was distracted. I didn't catch that before. I knew she was busy doing stuff, but the word distracted. She was distracted in the presence of Jesus. And maybe you already know me well enough to know that I'm a Martha. I'm a doer. I do things. I have tasks, lists. So I can relate to her trying to serve Jesus and trying to accommodate for having guests over. So I tend to stick up for Martha. But the truth is that Mary had it right. She had responsibilities. She had tasks to do because of their guests. But their guest was Jesus. She knew that she had limited amount of time with him. He was only going to be here for a little bit of time and move on. So she chose to set aside what was good for what was best. To set aside responsibilities, tasks she knew she had to do because Jesus was the best thing in the house. So she wanted to soak it all in. Unfortunately for us today, you know, Jesus isn't like a rock star, you know, traveling around the country, you know, and, you know, like winter jams coming, so we're going to all go down to Des Moines to see whoever's playing, you know, like, because that's the only place we'll be able to see him, right? So if you don't go, you miss out. Well, that's not what Jesus is doing here. It's actually fortunate that he's gone because he sent his Spirit to come and lead us into all truth. So we can spend time with him every day if we choose to build a routine out of it. We can build a routine out of it. We don't have to wait for a conference. We don't have to wait for a concert or a special speaker. We can meet with Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, every day, and the Holy Spirit will guide us in growing in our relationship with him. So it really works out for us that he's not here in flesh and blood anymore because, first of all, that makes him available to everyone, everywhere, whenever they want, right? If he was a limited flesh and blood person, then only you could meet with him for an hour, and then only you could meet with him for an hour or whatever, you know? So that's really cool. But secondly, he's flexible. Jesus is flexible. If you're an early riser, then he is up and awake to meet with you. If you can't seem to make time for your first thing, like me, I just get up out of bed and, you know, so I can sleep the most amount of time, you know, and hit the ground running is what I do. But if you've got a long commute, that's okay. That's no sweat because Jesus will ride shotgun with you. You can talk with him. You can talk to him. You can pause to listen. You can listen to his word. I mean, there's lots of things you can do if you have a commute or a drive ahead of you. If you're a night owl, that's okay, because he'll still be awake for you. You know, just because he got up early with Pastor Anna doesn't mean he's tired and can't meet with Pastor Rob, you know? So he is there for you. Well, the point is, just set a time that's good for you. Set a time that's good for you. That's a time when you're at your best, when you're alert, and when you're ready to receive. Because I've tried getting up early, and that's not best for me. And so I can try as hard as I can, it's going to fail. And then I'm going to feel like a failure, and I don't want to feel like a failure. That's kind of a joke, sorry. Because it's not about my feelings anyway, you know. All right, so moving right along. Another aspect of setting a regular routine is to go to the same spot every day. Go to the same spot every day. Going the same time, go to the same spot. Now, I didn't get to see the movie War Room. How many of you guys did see War Room? Cool, cool. So I'll catch it in Redbox, but I'll see it soon. So even if you didn't see it either, like me, I think from my point of view, one of the bigger points of the movie was setting aside a specific place for you to pray. You know, if you've got a closet you can go to, if you've got, you know, a favorite chair that you can go to, or a whole other area, that's great. Go to a separate place. Now, I do recommend that not be your bed, okay? That's not a good place for you to do devotions, because normally sleeping happens in bed. I'm sorry, I'm going to be real practical, okay? And like, you usually sleep there. Your body is used to that. And so if you are sitting there trying to read your Bible, your body is telling it yourself, it's time to go to sleep. So it's a conflict there, you know? And again, personal experience, I've had it where I'm sitting up in bed. Oh, that's good. Let me meditate on that. Oh, Jesus, you're good. It happens, okay? You don't spiritualize it. Oh, I'm just going to close my eyes and saturate here in a moment, and next thing you know, you're out, okay? No saturating in bed, okay? So listen, a specific place becomes a special place because it's your place to meet with the Lord. So set a specific place, a specific time. And lastly, regarding a regular routine, set up a systematic plan, okay? Don't let that big word scare you. Systematic plan just means not sporadic, okay? Set up a routine, just like a routine of a place and a time, set up a routine in your reading. Don't just flip through the Bible, you know, and land on some random verse. I've done that, and that does work, so you can do that, but that's not a systematic plan, okay? God can speak to you in those moments, but that actually requires more work, because when you flip through and randomly, okay, what's this verse say, you know? That takes more work because you have to figure out the context, okay? Is this now Old Testament, New Testament? Who are the characters in the or the people in the story? Are they going somewhere? Where did they come from? Who's saying what is being said? You know, that's a lot more work than just starting with John 1:1, you know? And you're like, okay, in the beginning, God said, that's pretty self-explanatory. And you will learn as you go through a systematic plan, as you go through a book of the Bible, okay? So I'll talk more about that before we're done this morning. So a regular routine enables you to protect what's most important, and time with Jesus is most important, right? That's the big lesson from Mary, Martha, is Mary protected time with Jesus. So set up a regular routine, because time with Jesus is what's going to change us. It's going to be what enables us to operate in this world, to get through life's troubles. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Our time with Jesus is our root system. We need to protect that. We need to not be distracted by what's going on around us or being too busy in our lives to be able to bring in nourishment from the Bible or from times of praying with him and to him and listening to Christian music and worshiping him. You know, this is all nutrients that we need to take in. And the time you spend with him in his word specifically is very well spent. It's a living word to us. It's God's living word. It will bless you here and now. So if you're going through something, God can use his word written down thousands of years ago, and it'll speak to you. That's what I mean by when it's alive, because it comes alive. It speaks to you as if God is speaking directly to you. It's alive because the author is alive, and we get to read it with him present. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So you'll receive blessing, you'll receive word and encouragement for here and now, but it'll bless the rest of your life as well and bless you for generations to come. It'll bless your kids, it'll bless your grandkids because you spent time with God in his word. And when you learn to hear God's word in the quiet times, whenever it is, then you'll be able to hear his word when things are loud and those distractions come that you can't control. Then you'll be able to hear the voice of the Lord because you've trained yourself to hear him in the quiet times. Just like here, This is a safe place. I've explained this is like God's laboratory. You know, we want you to try things out, you know, and this is a place where you can hear the Lord. This is a place where you can get quiet for the Lord. This is a place where we encourage you to be expressive in your worship. You can do it in here. If you don't feel like you can do it in here, then you're not going to do it out there. So we want you to grow in that, because nobody's going to make fun of you here. Grow in your ability to worship the Lord and experience relationship with the Lord in here. And it should charge you up for the times that you're out there. The author of The Divine Mentor explains that there are two life teachers, consequences and wisdom. Consequences is by far the most difficult teacher. You will learn by consequences, but it will cost you. When you were little, you might have run full steam into a wall, right? So just hypothetical. And so you run into this wall, and let's say you broke your nose. What might have you had learned? That the wall is hard, your nose is soft and breakable, so don't run straight into a wall, you know, head first into a wall. And so hopefully your lesson is learned, right? If you learned that as a kid, or, you know, that a stove is hot, you know, you don't want to touch, you know, fire is hot, electricity is out there, so don't stick, you know, paper clips in there. Those are lessons that come with consequences. And they're painful ways to learn lessons, right? Consequences cost you, and it's mostly in the form of pain. Well, the truth is that you can't afford to learn all of life's lessons the hard way. You don't have enough bones that you're able to break. We're not cats that have nine lives, although they don't really have nine lives. You know, we don't have what it takes to learn all of life's lessons through consequences. We can't afford to do it the hard way. So here's the thing. In learning through consequences, it costs you on the back end. It's like you do something, and then when that's done, you learn that was the hard way. You know, whether it's physical or whether it's like, psh, God told me not to move and do, you know, change jobs. Psh, I don't care. I'm going to move and change jobs because it's a better job. You could learn on the backside of that decision that that was the wrong decision, okay? But learning from wisdom costs you on the front end. So learning from wisdom does cost you as well. There's a price to that, and that's in the form of discipline, obedience, consistency, and all these things just take time. It takes time to learn, to gather wisdom from other people, but that's the cost of it. You learn, you put in the time, you grow in your wisdom, and you learn that, hey, this person said, you know, you need to really listen to God. Or this person said, when I tithe, then I know that I get blessed. And okay, I'm going to learn from what you have learned, and I'm just going to simply tithe and come to find out that that's true as well. Another way of putting it is that wisdom puts a fence at the top of a cliff, right? If you own property and your backyard like goes into a cliff, you'd put a fence there to protect anybody that comes around. But consequence puts you in the hospital after you fall into the bottom of the cliff, right? So if you own that same property and you're like, I don't think that's going to be a big deal, well, you or your kids are in the hospital because they fell down the cliff, then you've learned the lesson at the bottom of the cliff afterwards. Solomon put it this way: a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. So it's not always possible to foresee the dangers that you would have in life. So you must take opportunities to learn from others. If you don't, the Bible calls you a fool. That's what simpleton means here in this scripture. So spare yourself the pain of learning lessons your own way. That's a hard way to learn through life, is the hard way. Sometimes we do have to learn the hard way, but when we have the opportunity to learn from others, we ought to take it. Amen? So you can do this by spending time with others, of course, obviously, but also by spending time with Jesus and around 400 other people who God wants to use to teach you. You can find their stories collected in the 66 books of the Bible, all conveniently packaged right there for you. All their experiences, all of their pain and poor choices, you can learn from and save yourself the pain. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. And all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do what is right. That's all of Scripture can teach us to do what is right. God has given us his wisdom so that we don't have to make the same mistakes that the people in the Bible did, some people. This is something that you can do on your own. Praise God, you can do it. Everyone has access to God's word. It's the most published book in all the history of all the world. If you don't have access to the Bible app, you know, which we've been pushing, but if you don't have access to that, or you don't have a Bible at home, please come and see me. We can get you a Bible for free, okay? So there's no excuse for not having access to God's word. We all have access to God's word. And just like our opening illustration, it would be ridiculous for you to say, feed me, feed me, feed me, and then think, well, I'm not getting fed at that church. It's ridiculous. You can feed yourself. You don't have to depend on anyone but yourself for your spiritual nourishment. Honestly, if you depend on me and Pastor Anna to do it for you, we're going to let you down. I think that's one of the first things we said as we came here. We're going to let you down. We're human, okay? But I know who the best teacher is. I know somebody that's not going to let you down, the Holy Spirit. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. He's going to be patient with you, whereas I might get impatient, you know? So really, he's the better teacher. Just go right with him. And Jesus, when he was about to ascend up into heaven, he said that the Father would send us a helper, a counselor to be with us, and to be with us forever, to lead us into all truth, John 14. When we make it a point to read our Bibles with him present, he will deposit his wisdom into our lives. Like I said, he's the author of the Bible. Of course, he's going to have tips on it. Hey, I meant this when I was talking about this, you know? Like, that is just so exciting. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, remember? He was there at the creation of the world, and he's available to mentor you. Spending time with him is far more precious than just learning Bible facts. This isn't just, you know, learn everything about the Bible that you can. This is learn what the Bible says about changing your life so that you can look more like Jesus. That's what it's about. This daily interaction is so important as food, water, and air. You can live for over 3 weeks without eating. Anybody want to try that? See how long you can go. No, you don't want to do that. But you can only live 3 days without water. Water is very important to your life, right? How long can you go without air? On average, about 3 minutes. Air is very important to your life. Most of the time when you breathe, you aren't even thinking about it. Well, now you probably are. Yeah, okay, I'm breathing. But right? We do this without even thinking, or blinking sometimes, you know, we don't even think about it. It's just what we do. And I think that's how our relationship with God is going to be like in heaven. We're not going to think about it because he's there and we're there together, but it's going to be so natural, so ongoing, just like breathing, so constant. And the best hope that we have on earth, though, is to have a relationship with God like eating. that like we eat physically, we need to commune with God daily. physically, we have lunch and dinner like clockwork, right? 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or whatever your family does for evening dinner, you know? It's clockwork. Our bodies even tell us when it's time to eat. You know, sometimes I'll be plugging away in the office, you know, and I just look at the clock and it's like, and I'm like, oh, is it lunchtime yet? I'm so hungry. You know, my body is telling me I'm hungry and I need to have some nourishment. It's most of the time I skip breakfast, but it's what I do. So nobody has to come and tell me, well, you know, Pastor Rob, you need to eat now. Your body's telling you to eat, so you should eat. No. I have to get up, get a snack, or go ahead and go home and have lunch, right? Nobody's telling me that I need to go eat. So similarly, when our time with the Lord gets a little long between meetings, we should notice it. It should pain us. We should stop what we're doing and feed ourselves. But again, it shouldn't get to that point. We should have regular clockwork meetings with the Lord. So let me recap. Set aside a time and place for you to meet regularly with the Lord. Guard against distractions because they can take you down, even a mature Christian, and ask for the Holy Spirit's help when you read. Now I want to talk about the one-year Bible reading plan. In Sunday school, they talked a little bit about this, but has anybody ever read the Bible through in a year? Yeah, a few of you? Okay, good. It's a big task, but it's doable, right? It is doable. A couple of hands were raised, so they did it. We can do it. It is possible. And as your pastor, I keep thinking about how I'm making a 12-month commitment to keep this in front of you. This is a big thing for me to do, to say we're going to talk about this for a year. I don't know about you. I'm not ADD, but like, you know, this is going to be hard to keep this going all the time. We're committing to print off the Bible reading plan for you and stick it in the bulletin. I mean, we are taking responsibility for helping you. And to me, that sounds a little daunting, maybe a little overwhelming. But I've considered that cost, and I'm willing to pay it. So I hope that you'll consider the cost, that you'll make a commitment to interact with the Bible every day. And I say it that way because interact with the Bible every day because there's different ways that you can process God's Word. You can read it on paper or with the Bible app. And you can listen to it on the Bible app too as well. That's kind of what I was saying about on your commute. You just click play. And there's different versions and there's different audio versions as well. So whatever version you like, there's different versions of audio. But in speaking about listening to the audio Bible, and I know that there have been audio Bible for years available on CD, so you don't even have to pay the $100 for CDs. You get it for free on this Bible app. But I want to caution you, if you listen to the Bible, don't just click play and hear the words. You know, we want to actually hear what it's saying. The difference between hearing and listening, you married folks should know this, is you can hear the words, but when you're listening, you're processing, you're interacting. You may even give feedback and say, what I hear you saying is this, and it's okay to click pause and reflect and say, God, were you talking about this or this? You know, have a conversation with the author. It's amazing. Something I really want you to hear loud and clear this morning, though, is that if you miss a day or two or a week goes by and you haven't touched it, that's okay. We believe in grace. I'm graceful in this as well. I don't want you to worry about it. Don't worry about picking it up and trying to cover everything that you forgot. Just pick it up with whatever day it is. If it's May 17th, then pick it up at May 17th and start. Just because you missed a month, just pick it up whatever day it is. That's how it goes, is whatever day it is, there's a reading. Okay? Because honestly, if you forgot to or you couldn't find 10 minutes to do one day's worth of reading, are you really going to catch up doing 20 minutes or 30 minutes? No, you're not going to find it. So just let it go. Shoot for next year, but pick it up with whatever day it is. So we're going to show a video in a second. I found this online. I just was really kind of neat. I was Googling different videos for, how to do this, or else I was going to make one myself and show you all about the Bible reading plan. So I just Googled Bible reading plan, one-year Bible app. And so this guy had done exactly what I would have done anyway. So it was really cool. But just so you know, it is another pastor. He's walking his church through it. He even walks through how to download the app. So if you have a smartphone, tablet, iPod, whatever, and then he'll talk you how to start the plan. He does go pretty fast, so I will say that. And I will post the video on our Facebook page and our website so you can watch it again. But something he doesn't mention is that after you download the Bible app, you should register as a user. You can download it for free and read anonymously and all that, but it'll save your progress if you register as a user, as well as it'll save any notes that you make. So as you're reading, you click on the Bible, it highlights it a little, underlines it a little bit, and you can click on note, and you can write a note. You can journal your thoughts, and that will be recalled and saved if you are a user. Also, well, I'll make another comment later after this. So let's watch this. It's about 2 minutes.
Hey there, CBC family. I'm going to show you how to subscribe to the 1 Year Bible on your phone using the YouVersion app. First, you need the YouVersion app. So let's go to the App Store, and we'll just search real quick. And if you search for Bible, then the first one that comes up is the one you want. This is Bible from Life Church TV, and you just install the app. Once you have the app installed, then you can just open up the app. It's real simple. You're going to hit on the top menu up here and go to Plans. In Plans, you'll hit Browse Plans at the bottom and then go to Whole Bible. And it's the one right here at the top. It's called the 1 Year Bible. So just tap on that and hit Start Plan. Do you want your friends to see the plan activity? Yes, I do. I want to share so you guys can follow along with my activity. Next, when you're ready to read, you just tap the plan, and it tells you today is December 18th, so I have to read Habakkuk 1, 2, 3, Revelation 9, and then a couple verses in Psalms and Proverbs. So I would just tap on Habakkuk 1, and it's going to tell me that it wants to switch it to the NLT version. I don't really want to read in the NLT version, so I'm going to switch it back to King James, and then I can go ahead and read this for today. Once I'm done reading, then I just check the box next to what I've already read, and I can go through and read all the passages for today. Like, I need to read my Psalms, get that read. I can also listen to the audio down here by just pushing play, and then it will actually play the audio for me. And then once I have all these checked, then I'm done for the day. And I can look at the month, and it says, I'm doing awesome. I've completed 352 of the Bible in 1 year plan, which I haven't actually, because you can see down here, I'm only 0.3% complete. Because I'm going to start on, it's also asking me if I want to set up a reminder. I'm going to start in January. But this reminder will pop up at the top of my phone, a notification every day. It'll show me up here that I need to read. And then I can just tap the notification and pick up where I left off. And that's how you set up the Bible plan for 1 year Bible on your phone. All right, so read along with me. And I hope to see your updates on my YouVersion app. God bless.
So I think that was a previous version of the Bible app. I think instead of browse, it may be called discover. So just kind of thumb around, push around. You can't break it, you know, so just touch things, you know, and discover it. And of course, that was for iPhone, so Google is a little bit different, but it's there. The Bible app is a great way to share scriptures on Facebook as well. You can connect it to your Facebook account, and it makes it really easy to share scriptures. It puts it out there in different ways. And you can connect with other users as you see their activities as well. That's what he said about making it public, so that when we connect to each other on the Bible app, it's kind of like a different version of Facebook, but just on the Bible app or YouVersion. And so we'd see each other's Facebook. You can like that, you know, to encourage somebody. You can, I think you can send a little note too. And I don't know if you saw when he was going to the menu screen, there are videos that you can watch and do devotions over as well. Several of them are like the Bible, the mini series that was on, or the Son of God. You know, they have little video clips, and then we'll have a little devotional reading there. So it's a really neat way to interact with God's Word. And then there's also the live icon, which we've utilized here before. That's how you connect with Sunday morning messages. So you can follow along with whoever's preaching and take notes that way as well. So Marcia, come on up and play just a little bit. Like I said before, there's always a take home. There's always an application point. And this is a big one, but it's something that I believe will cause us to grow our faith in 2016. Because that's one of the things we're all about, growing faith. The other is sharing faith. It'll help us to share our faith like never before. And so I think 2016 is going to be a banner year because we're prioritizing Scripture. We're making it a point to read every day. That's a big task. But I think God will bless that effort. Spending time with Jesus every day is so important, so life-changing. It's going to be amazing. God's going to change lives. He's going to use you to change lives of people around you. That's what we're all about, growing faith and sharing faith. Bruce, would you come on up and close us out? So let's make this the best year ever. Make it a personal best year ever for you as you grow your faith.